Before we get into our study, I just want to take a moment and just truly express to each of you that we thank God for each one of you. And so on behalf of Kathy and I and the staff here, just Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to each one of you. We count it an awesome blessing to have all of you be part of our family, our church family. And we know that things will be hectic and are hectic this time of the year. But we just want to make sure we take this time to express to you that we appreciate each of you. And so Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to each one of you. And thank you. Many of you expressed well wishes towards us and all, and we want to say thank you for that also. You know, I don't know about other pastors, but I know for me, whenever I approach a holiday like this, that there's a sort of temptation that a lot of new pastors often fall into. Or if you've ever been asked to speak, maybe you're not used to speaking very often, but all of a sudden you're asked to speak somewhere. There's a trap that we can sometimes fall into, and that is this. You try to put everything you know in one message. You know, and a holiday comes up, and you just want, oh, I want to make sure and put this in. And, oh, let's talk about that. And all of a sudden, it can be so much. But I don't want to feel the burden of that. I just want to gather with you and rejoice, because really, the Lord is kind of speaking to me and encouraging me. You know, say, you know what? It isn't, doesn't have to be all that. Just boil it down to the basics. And this morning, for this Sunday before Christmas, I just want to get down to the basics. Because for all the decorations and all the presents and all the shopping, everything that goes on, it comes down to Him and us. The gift of Christmas is Him to us. And that's what I want to look at this morning. I want to focus on the best gift that's ever been given. Christmas is a time of gifts, of course. Gifts given, gifts received. Well, we're about to read about a time when Jesus invited someone to ask Him for a gift. Do you know that happened once? Jesus actually told someone, hey, I want you to ask a gift from me. And so we're going to look at that. But this one's going to be about not presents, but God's presence, E-N-C-E. That's His answer. That's what He's going to be directing them towards. As we look at this, we're going to consider the real reason for the season. You with me? Great. Turn to John chapter 4. Let's go to the Gospel of John, the fourth book of our New Testament. Go to chapter 4. Now, if you're turning there, if you're familiar with John chapter 4, you might be tempted right now to go, Pastor, it is the Sunday before Christmas. You should pick a Christmas passage. You should pick a passage about Jesus' birth or something. Pastor, there's nothing about Jesus' birth in John 4. Well, there may not be, but that doesn't mean it's not about Christmas and about the best gift ever. And let's read about it. John chapter 4. The setting is this. Jesus is sitting by a well in an area called Samaria. At this point, the disciples have all gone into town to get some food and all. So Jesus is sitting by the well by himself, and a woman comes out to the well to get some water. As she gets up to the well, Jesus asks her for some water. Well, that surprises the woman. Let's read about it. We're in John 4. Let's jump in at John 4. Let's jump in at verse 9. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Now notice, Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. One on one. Jesus and the woman at the well. And his statement to her is, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for some water, you would have asked and he would have given. This is the text very much about asking, receiving. It talks about giving. And in particular, you'll notice, it talks about not just a gift. It talks about the gift. From who? The gift of God. If you knew the gift of God, not just any gift, but there stands before her and all of us the one who is the gift of God. And as we point that out to her, Christmas is all about what God wants to give us. And He definitely wants to give us something. And really, it's what we really need. And He's the only one who can give it. There are so many things that try to tell us that we can find in those things real joy, true fulfillment. So many things are held forward as that's the answer for what we really need. And so, unfortunately, we buy into that. We literally buy into it. And all these things we get caught up in, when the Lord wants to keep it very simple and direct. He has what, if you knew, He said, if you just knew the gift of God. And He goes on to what? He points out to her, of course, He's not talking about just literal water, but spiritual water, spiritual thirst, of which He's the answer for. And that if you drink from the wells of this world, you'll thirst again. But there's a place where we can spiritually drink and find true satisfaction. And so He's standing there offering it to her. And please notice that. He says, if you knew the, see, you must know. He doesn't say if you just knew about it. A lot of people know about the gift. He doesn't say if you just knew of the gift. A lot of people know of the gift. No, if you knew the gift of God. Do you know the gift of God? I trust we do. If not, I trust before the morning's over, you will. But you must know the gift of God. Because what we're going to find is, Jesus is the gift. It turns out the gift is the giver, and the giver is the gift that He's talking about. Now, of course, with the receiving of the gift, Jesus, He brings with Him so many other gifts with Him. And we're going to look at some of those this morning also. But it starts with the gift of Himself, His very presence. His very coming here was meant to usher that into our lives. And so He stands there with the Nicodemus. He stands there with the woman at the well. And He always takes it right back personal and says, come on, it's for you to receive personally. Not all the periphery, you and me, He says. If you just knew what I had, you wouldn't stop short. You'd ask, and I would give. On this Sunday before Christmas, I want us to consider what all is in the gift of God. And as we do, I think we're going to find ourselves responding like Paul did, 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. A lot of gifts are going to be given, but thanks be to God for the indescribable gift that God has given us, namely Jesus. I've called our time together this morning, the gift of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for family times. We thank You for all the week will hold in terms of perhaps some interactions or just kind greetings, just different things going on throughout the week. We thank You for those, Lord, but we recognize the reason for this season is the most important gift that's ever been given. So Lord, help us in this time to set all that aside and in this time to really focus on and soak in and respond to Your gift, the gift of God, the gift that changes everything, the gift that has changed us. Thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, now let's look at an account of Jesus' birth. Go to that first book in the New Testament. Turn now over to Matthew chapter 1. I want us to read Matthew's account of the Christmas story. But again, as we do, listen for the gift of God in it all. Matthew chapter 1, it starts with the genealogies. We won't be reading all those this morning, but let's pick it up down in verse 18. Matthew 1, verse 18. Listen for the gift of God. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After His mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So again, in here, we see God's doing all this with a goal in mind. There's a gift he wants to give. And really, he makes sure we don't miss it by pointing out that his very name points to the gift. What's in a name? Well, in the case of Jesus, everything. We see here in verse 23 that he'll be called Emmanuel. His name is Jesus. By call that, it means he'll be known as. It will be said that in him, God is with us. So how important is that? Think about it. God with us. The incarnation. God becoming man. Still fully God, but now also fully man. See, back in verse 18, it says, Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. Notice it doesn't say the beginning of Jesus Christ was as follows. No, he is eternal. He's the second person of the Trinity. He has always existed. He's always been active and at work. He was involved in creation and everything else. But now this is his birth. This is his entrance into this world now, taking on the form of man. Still fully God, but also now coming as a man. And why is that important? For a lot of reasons. The fact that he's Emmanuel, God with us, helps us understand something. See, we tend to think of how that applies to us only in his kind of grown up condition, if you will. But it's important that we see that from the very beginning, that's the case. This is God. God is conceived here, and it's God, the second person coming into this world. And that's key. It's a key because of this. Only the blood of God, the Son, can cleanse us. If he's just a man, then we're in big trouble. Because I can't die for my sins, and you can't atone for your own sins, and we can't die for one another. And if he's just another person, though he might be a good person, that's not sufficient to cleanse us of our sins. So it's important that God came and took on the form of man. It's important that that's stressed right away. Only if this is God does the cross mean what it means to us. Only if this is truly God will the payment truly be sufficient. Only then will the payment mean what it means for us. In all this, see, that's where there has to be a virgin birth. And if we're going to have God's presence, and not a substitute, not a representative, but God himself, he wants to give us him, well, he had to come. So it's God with us. But why? Why? Well, that points us to the name. That points us to why there is this gift, verse 21. Remember, this is God saying why. You shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. The word for is a word that says because. Well, what does that have to do with? What does Jesus have to do with for he will save his people from their sins? Because the name Jesus is a contraction, Yehoshua, of Jehovah is salvation. You see, when children are born to us, we tend to name them what? We tend to name them a name we think sounds good, maybe a name that we hope captures something that'll be about them. We don't know what they're going to be like, but maybe we name them after somebody. But in Jesus' case, his name gives us two things. His name shows us, first of all, of course, who his father is. Jehovah is salvation. He has his father's name, you might say. But also, he has his father's mission. For when he was born, he's a baby who becomes a man who the whole time is on a mission. Jesus is salvation. And the only place for salvation. So that's the importance here of the name and who's laying there. It's There he goes. Acts 4:12. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So again, it's just driving home that point. No other name given, for in the name points to the answer, Jesus. Jesus is our salvation. And it's given to us, and that's how we are to be saved. And the only means for being saved. And notice that. Salvation is a gift. Now, we hear that so much, but first of all, if you're thinking you can earn it, it can't be earned. If you're thinking that somehow the good just has to outweigh the bad, it's not about that. But rather, it's about a gift. And why? Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. What we've earned is separation from God. But the what? The gift. Remember, we're talking about the gift. If you just knew the gift of God, Jesus said. The gift of God is eternal life. How? Where? How do I find this? Not under a tree, under a cross. Under the cross. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. In John chapter 4 that we read earlier, Jesus told the woman, if you knew the gift of God. He says, if you would have known that, and who it is that's asking you for the water, you would have asked me, and I would have given you living water. And remember, he goes on to show her there in John 4, he's not talking about just physical water, but spiritual water. He takes on a spiritual journey, showing her that we all have a spiritual thirst, and it's only found in the gift of God. The answer to that thirst, he says, I would give you this gift. For with Jesus, as you invite Jesus in, he brings in and moves in with and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit takes up residence. Why do I say that? Jesus later on, a few chapters later after John 4 and John 7, he defines what the living water is. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirst, he's talking about spiritual thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. I need this water. I want this water. Lord, how do I get this water? What is this water? What are you talking about? He goes on to tell us. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified at that point. We're on the other side of the cross. We're on the other side of the empty tomb. He is now risen. He sits at the right hand of the Father. Holy Spirit has been given. But the point is, that's what he's talking about. With the receiving of the gift of God, Jesus, he brings in living water. He says, if you would have asked, if you knew what it was to say, if you just knew the gift of God, you would ask, and I would give you what your heart really thirsts for. Have you done it? If you've done it, you know you've done it. Because he satisfies. The only one who can. The only one who does. The only gift that will really bring with it that heart satisfaction. Satisfying our spiritual thirst. If you knew the gift, he says, you would have asked. His constant presence, E-N-C-E, his constant presence is what we need. And it's what we can have if we will but receive. What have you asked for Christmas? I can go around and ask right now and say, what have you asked something for Christmas? Have you told your mate, your parents, your kids, whatever? Here's what I want. What have you asked for Christmas? Whatever it is you've asked for Christmas, it won't match the gift God has for us. And it doesn't match the gift you've received if indeed you've opened it up. You've received, heart received, Jesus. For the one who receives the gift of Jesus, here's the awesome thing. He doesn't stop at himself. For with the entrance of the Holy Spirit into our lives, he brings a whole bunch of good stuff with him. Because he is the source, really, of all we really heart need, what I really need. Oh, it's fun to get a new outfit or get that new hope, you know, whatever you're told for under the tree. But that's next year, we'll probably won't remember it. But that which changes everything is in Him. Remember what Paul said in Romans 8:32? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also, notice, freely give us all things? Meaning all things we need. All things I truly need. If He didn't spare His Son, He's not going to spare what His Son brings, what the placement of the Holy Spirit in our life brings. And notice, He'll freely give them all. He said, if you just knew what's yours, you'd ask, and I would give. What are some of the gifts that the gift giver brings with Him into our lives? Just going to put a couple up here. Matthew 11:28, come to Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. First thing I'm pointing out is He gives rest. Now, for those of you who are young, you're like, I don't really need rest. I'm good to go. I want to go do this and go do that. But for those of you who are maybe up towards my part of the thing here, rest sounds pretty good sometimes. But He's not. That's a separate issue. The fact that I'm hoping there's a nap in my future this afternoon, that's separate. Because this isn't talking even so much about a physical rest as spiritual rest. There's a place of refuge. There's a place of rest. I don't have to strive. I'm not at enmity with God anymore. I don't have to try to earn anything. There is a place of rest. I'll give you. Come to Me, Jesus. I'll give you rest. So there's physical rest, but there's more importantly, rest. And it's a gift if you receive the gift. What else does the gift bring into our lives? Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Peace. Peace of God, peace from God, that awesome gift that He offers. That with the entrance of Him into our lives, He brings peace with Him. And know how we need it. What else does He bring along? James 4:6. But He gives more grace. Therefore He says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Anybody here need grace? About half of you. I sure need it. If I don't have God's grace, I'm fried. I'm in big trouble, and so are you. But notice, He gives grace. He gives grace. See, that's what grace is, unmerited favor. We're used to earning gifts in a way. Making a list, checking it twice. Going to find out who's naughty and nice. You're nice, you get a gift. If the Lord did that, boy. But He doesn't do that. He gives. See, grace is His unmerited favor towards us. And notice how much He gives. More. You got sin, He's got more grace. You got failure, He's got more grace. Thank God, because I need more grace. And He's got it. And He gives it. Oh, what the gift giver gives. Are you with me? Good. What else? Well, let me add one more here. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're in a battle. You know that. We're in struggles every day. We're in spiritual battles, just all kinds of things. The enemy wants to trip us up, throw temptations at us that will fall to them. But there's a refuge. There's a place. There's a place of victory. Where? Where? How do I get it? He gives it. He gives us the victory. How? How? Through the gift. Through the gift. The gift ushers the gift of victory. I no longer have to just yield to sin. Oh yeah, the flesh still wars against the spirit, and sin's still out there. But before I knew the Lord, you just went with it. We had no power. But now with the Lord, we have the power. We have victory. Sin doesn't have to rule and reign over our lives anymore. See, He gives us all these things through the gift. Well, there's a whole lot of things we could talk about He wants to bring into our lives. The list goes on and on. I guess the point I'm making is what we really need isn't found under a Christmas tree. It's found in Jesus. The gift. The giver is the gift. If you just knew. That was just bouncing around in my head, my heart all week long, that text. Just think about, if you just knew. If you just knew the gift of God. And now we should just hold forward to people that love and the forgiveness and all that's in that gift. If you just knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, give me a drink, and you'd ask and he'd give it. What an important, important offer. When children, be it Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, when the kids have opened up their gifts, and it's not just kids, sometimes we do this as adults, but after they've played for a while, they begin to maybe interact with their neighbors, the other kids in the neighborhood, or they call up a relative or a friend or something, depending on their age, or they can't wait to get to school. For what purpose? When they see the kids in the next door neighbor kid or the whatever they play with, what's the first thing they do once they've opened the presents and they got them out? What'd you get? What'd you get for Christmas? Well, let me show you what I got for Christmas. Come here, you ought to see this, what I got. I buy a football, whatever it is. They're all excited about their gift they got for Christmas, right? Do you remember that as a kid? I'm getting a few heads, a few people remembering. Don't you remember being excited about a gift? You couldn't wait to tell somebody. And then somebody comes over to your house right away. Oh, well, let me show you what I got. Or maybe for some of us, you get back to work. And you go anyway. You ought to see what I got. Look at the cool watch I got. Or whatever. We get excited about them. We get excited about gifts. What did you get in Jesus? And are you excited about it? Are you excited about what you got in Jesus? Right now, are you excited enough that you'd want to say what you got? I'm going to let you. Somebody tell me what they got in Jesus. What did the gift of God bring into your life? Somebody say something. Whoa, there we go. That was good. Jeff, what was that?
Forgiveness.
First and foremost, forgiveness, which ushers eternal life into our lives. We're made right with God. What else? What? Nice and loud.
Faith.
He gives us faith. He does give it, yeah. And there's a whole, let's do some more, right? Be excited, kids, right now. Be excited, kids, and tell me what you got for Christmas from Jesus.
Direction.
Wisdom. What else? You know, I'm fighting my peace. Hope.
Joy.
This is good. See, now we're rolling. And I can go around the room. Rudy, what'd you get for Christmas?
Love.
There you go, love. Rudy's one of the few guys I ever call on. He's not expecting me because I know, you know, he's our prayer captain. He's always ready to go. So I get it. I won't get you right now. You're like, oh, he just called on that guy. No, I won't embarrass anybody here like that. But still, I hope you all have things. I think we can hopefully go around the room and be excited, you know, and just say, I got joy and peace and love, forgiveness and hope and life and just on and on. How'd you get them? They all came in with the gift. Jesus brought them in with him. He came in with an armload of gifts into my life. And I didn't earn any, I didn't deserve a single one of them. My entire destiny changed. I have purpose and meaning now in life, all these things. I'm getting excited. I don't know about you. I think you are. Think about it. But remember, at the core, the giver is the gift. We don't praise the gifts. We praise the one who gives them, who brings them into our lives. Because the giver is the gift, the ultimate gift that changes everything. He gives us the gift of himself. He gives the Holy Spirit to each one who receives of him. God's gifts are not earned. They're not deserved. They're rooted in his love for us. Again, we tend to give gifts based sometimes on just somebody's been good or we want to thank them or whatever reason we have to do it, whatever it is. But for God so loved the world that he gave the gift of his son. That's why he's doing it. Just unconditional, unmerited favor, grace, love is the author, is the reason. Well, how are they opened? How do I open these gifts? Well, how did you open the gift of salvation? It's by faith. You receive the gifts by believing. It's by faith we are saved. It's through grace by faith we are saved. By faith, we receive the gift. Oh, if you just knew the gift of God. Not knew about it, but knew him. How do I know him? Invite him in. Give him me. And we begin to discover all that's in that. Oh, to know him. If you just knew the gift of God. And how did we do that? By faith. Receiving it by faith. But notice that. It's always personal. Christmas is personal. It's received personally by faith. You must personally ask him in. You will not know him through someone else. It's not, you're not, you don't know him because your mate does, parents, kids. And the expression is so true. God has no grandchildren. You're either his child. It's not you don't know him through your parents, so to speak, is the point there. You must do it personally. But all of us, we must all do this. But that's Christmas. That's what I began with. He said, Dale, get down to the heart. It's me and them. It's me and Nicodemus. It's me and the woman at the well. It's me and Joe and Susie and Bill and... I'm going to be careful. I don't... Raise your name, okay. It's me and you. Oh, do you know the gift? Yeah. Then be mindful of what I brought in and praise him for it. Give thanks for it. John 4:10, Jesus said, if you just knew, you would have asked and I would have given. See, that really points to our part and his part. God gave us what we really need, a Savior. He offers to us a Savior. And that saving isn't done through just the fact that there's a baby born in a manger. The manger, the cross, the empty tomb, they're all part of the gift. It's the work on the cross. It's the victory won through the resurrection that we must receive and experience the gift of eternal life and all. So for just a moment, have you personally received the gift that changes everything? We invite you to do so this morning. If you haven't, as we get ready to sing some more songs here and thank God and all, there'll be prayer partners in the back of the room. They want to pray with you about this. They'd love to lead you in that prayer, that you might personally open the gift. Because how sad it would be to know about it, but never know personally. To not open the gift. To not, God says, here's the gift of life and forgiveness. Here's my son. Here is the gift. If you just knew the gift, and to not open it. Make sure you've opened it. We want to make sure you have that opportunity today. But believer, as you know, I have focused these three Sundays leading up to Christmas on God's presence. It's on my heart to do that this December, to really soak us in the truth of, the need of God's presence in our lives. ENCE. Because God's presence has changed everything for us, hasn't it? And it just says, oh, it gives us the real meaning for Christmas. It gives us meaning every day. Every day it gives my life meaning and purpose. It secures my eternity and everything. So the invitation to you, believer, is don't come short of that. Live every day with a real conscious awareness of his presence. Do you know the gift of God? Yes, you say, I do. I've come to know the one who is the gift. Good. Then every day, let's make sure we live like it. Make sure we live with a real awareness of and a leaning upon all these things he's brought in. And we don't look around for it. We look up. And he gives. He meets those needs. He touches us. The invitation is to walk in and praise the gift giver, who is the gift himself. And he's the best gift ever. Going to invite the worship team up. As they do, a couple of concluding comments. It's said of Jesus in verse 23 here in Matthew 1 that they will call his name Emmanuel, meaning that it will be said of Jesus that in Jesus we have God with us. Now think about that phrase one more time before we wrap it up. That in Jesus we have God with us. Think about each. First of all, emphasize the first part. That in Jesus is God with us. Think about it, believer. Everywhere and every way and everything we've gone through, God. God? Yes, God. In Jesus we have God. Well, what about that? That's the second part. With us. God with us. With you, with me. Both sides are crucial on this Sunday before Christmas. Both sides are important to know and live in and rejoice over. That in Jesus we have God with us. We have God in us, for each one is received. The call? Live. Live in the joy and the blessings of both part. God with us. Going to spend some time responding now and worshiping and singing some Christmas songs. If some altar time would help out. If you'd like to come up and say, Lord, you gave me me, I'm giving you me. You gave me you, I'm going to give you me. Or maybe there's something you want to get straight with them. Maybe you just want to come up front of the side to say thank you. Altar time's available, but let's make sure we all, from our hearts now, rejoice in the one, the best gift ever. Heavenly Father, we do want to stop and say thank you. That you would love us, send your son to die for us. Well, you've changed everything, and so we just want to say thank you. Now we respond with adoration and praise, for you are worthy. And we do it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to take a moment and just invite each of you, if your schedule allows for, to gather with us this Wednesday night for Christmas Eve service. I understand many of you may not be able to, but for those who are able to, I encourage you, let's come out and just gather on that awesome evening. And step aside from everything else going on and just gather and remember and celebrate. So I want to invite you to be a part of that this Christmas Eve. It promised to be just a special church family Christmas Eve gathering. We invite you to be a part of that. But if you can't make it, we totally understand that, of course. And to that end, I want to take a moment and just say again, on behalf of Kathy and myself and all the staff here at Jericho Road, God bless you. May you have an awesome, awesome, blessed Christmas. And we do thank God we get to travel with you to that end. And may Christmas Day and each day following find you enjoying God's presence. Heavenly Father, we bow. We bow our hearts before you, giving you thanks for the best gift ever. Father, thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the way you work and just how awesome you are. And all we have found in you, Lord, as a people, we shall declare all glory, all power, all honor to you. Thank you, Lord. We head out, Lord. We head out into a world that needs to know. Help us to be as excited as kids are, Lord. And just be able to declare, look what we got for Christmas. Thank you for that, Lord. You are so good now. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Truly, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with each of you. And may every day find you enjoying the gift of his presence. Amen. Let's close in song together.